The following is an encore presentation of Real Ghost Stories Online. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in your real ghost story right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file to us. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. As today, we're back from the dead, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, from Halloween. I mean, yesterday was Halloween, so as you can see, the show doesn't die. We're now entering, I guess you can officially say the holiday season, can't you?
Yeah.
Although I do consider like Halloween part of the holiday season, and the best part of the holiday season. but here we go. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas here. Although we kind of like skip Thanksgiving and Halloween, it seems, in this part of the country for the most part.
At least in our town.
They go
straight from fall, because there's not a lot of Halloween stuff, if you will.
Yeah.
But it goes straight from fall to November 1st, all the Christmas lights are on.
I'd almost argue it goes almost like straight from summer to Christmas. You know, I mean, it gets there's some tree colors here, but it stays, you know, up until about a week or two ago, it was still, I mean, even to, you know, now there's still some pretty warm days.
Sure.
In the 70s. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, damn, there's Christmas lights up everywhere. And you can have, I mean, that's the weird part about it. I'm used to, I shouldn't say I'm used to because it's been so long, but Christmas lights, for me, it had to be pretty darn cold out. Mm-hmm. And it was, you knew it was that winter. It's almost like weirdly tropical, although it's not tropical climate. But yeah, Christmas lights literally come on today. All around the city, giant Christmas trees, Christmas displays, Christmas drive-through parks, Christmas everything.
Yeah.
Less than 24 hours after your children said trick or treat, you can go and say, go drive through Rudolph's Christmas extravaganza. So here we go. It's also kind of funny when you trick or treat and a lot of the houses you go to, they have the Christmas tree already lit out there in the living room. And it's like trick or treat. Is it? I don't think I missed Halloween, but that's how it is. That is how it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online, as we'll continue fall and Halloween for the next 365 days. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, it's Lila from Arkansas. So I called you guys a while back about seeing some strange stuff around my mom's house after she died. And later, I told you guys about how there was some weird stuff going on at my dad's house right around a couple months before her death date and a couple months after her death date. Well, I think it has begun again. It's been a couple of years since any of that happened, but the other night I was in my shower, and I had a really slow song playing on my boombox, and then my dad was downstairs watching this Vietnam deal. And a lot of sound comes through the floor, and I could hear stuff. And even when there was really loud noise, I mean, I couldn't hear anything over my shower because my shower is really loud. So I've got my shower going, got a little bit of music, the Vietnam thing's going down downstairs. And then all of a sudden, I hear some noises, like my door's opening. And then out of nowhere, I hear this loud growling bark almost. I mean, it just sounds like something is standing in the middle. It sounds like it's coming from the very middle of my room. And it's just like this growling. And I shut off the shower, and it goes for a couple more seconds, and it stops. And I'm like, oh, okay, what was going on? So I step out, and I realize that if anything was going on my dad's TV, anything on his show, I mean, he would have had to have doubled the sound in those 5 to 10 seconds that it went on and then completely, like, knocked it back down, which I probably would not have done. So that was weird. But then I've got another story, and I don't know if this is necessarily ghost related, but it's strange. So when I was younger, my mom, she herself was not exactly the most social, but she always had people in her house. We lived in a really, really big old house, like five houses down from my middle school / elementary school. So everybody came over. It was right there. All the kids knew where I lived. My mom, everything, my social life always sort of happened at my mom's house because my dad lived out in the middle of nowhere and I wasn't allowed to have my phone there. And they were the kind of parents that were like, my dad and my sibling, they're like, I don't want to drive in. And so I always ended up doing stuff at my mom's house. And she herself, we always had people living with us, like always friends living with us. So it never seemed, the house was never really empty. So throughout all this, people living with us, and as for friends, I mean, pretty much, I remember one time I looked out my window after school and there were like five people just standing in my yard having a conversation. I mean, it really wasn't unusual for people to come by. Well, after she died, actually, hold up, I should back up. So sometime during seventh grade, I went over to my friend William's house. My friend William is this Jewish kid. He and I were just friends. Nothing ever developed. And he and I were about as close as the rest of my friend group and I. He wasn't like a best friend or anything, but we were cool. And our parents knew each other, so they were fine with me hanging out with him. So I went over to his house one day, and his sister, who was in college at the time, made these really cool guitar string rings. And I mean, these things were, they were really well made. And he gave me one of them. Well, she never knew about that. We didn't tell her because it was like, she has plenty of them, but he just decided not to mention it to her. So I had this guitar string ring on for a couple months, I would say about 2 to 3 months. And then one day, it, you know, after a time, it just sort of fell apart, and I was like, okay. So I just threw it away, didn't think anything about it. Nobody ever really made me comment about the ring. Nobody really noticed it from what I remember. It just was kind of, it was just there. So I've got it going on. I want to say, yeah. So pretty much, and I told him about it, and he was like, okay, it's all right, it's whatever. So fast forward, my mom dies in eighth grade. And then William and I mean, he and I really didn't talk after that, just because, I mean, we talked about as much as the rest of my friend group, and that really wasn't much because I moved out with my dad full time, and I didn't have a phone, and they still lived out in the middle of nowhere. So really the only person that came around me around that time was my best friend Bella, and she never even knew about the ring. My stepdad and I, we were in the house for about a week after she dies. We try to clean some stuff out, and then a family friend lives in the house, just because there's still antiques and pretty expensive stuff in the house after that, for about 3 or 4 months. And then we finally come in at spring break for the final cleanup so that we can put the house on the market. So for the final cleanup, during that time, I was there all of spring break and nobody stopped by. It was just Bella and I the whole time. Didn't think anything of it. So about, I want to say halfway through my freshman year, my grandmother comes to visit me from Virginia, and she says, hey, let's go by your mom's house and pick up any mail to make sure that Paul's not missing any, my stepdad, let's make sure he's not missing any of the mail or anything like that. So we go by, and it's pretty, and the thing about the way where my mom's house was not only was it in the middle of, or it was right by the middle school and the elementary school, but it was also right between, basically it was right between the main road and the elementary and middle school, so a lot of kids walked by it. It was the kind of neighborhood that a lot of people walked around. It was just very kid friendly. And everybody knew where I lived, so it really didn't surprise me if anybody, like, I constantly saw people walking by that I knew. It wasn't weird or anything if somebody, if a friend walked by there. And people knew that we weren't living there anymore. In fact, I think there was a for sale sign in the yard by this time. But we went by, and I was getting the mail out, and I felt something in the mailbox. And I picked it up, and it was a guitar string ring. And at first I'm like, and of course at first I'm picturing William walking around the neighborhood, and he has his guitar string ring on him for some other reason, and he just puts it in there, you know, nice little gift. A few months later, I see William, because we'd gone to different high schools. I said, hey, man, you know, thank you for that guitar string ring. I just thought that was cool. And he was like, I never left that there. And I was like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, no, I never left that. Recently I remembered it and I called him and I said, hey, like, were you screwing with me about that? Were you, you know, did you just forget to tell me you were screwing with me? And he's like, no, like, seriously, I never left that. So I'm like, okay, this is bad. And I tried to decide, okay, like, people who would have known about the ring and none of them, and none of them would have had that kind of artistic talent. I couldn't even have done that. And I've never seen them being sold anywhere. So it's not like this is, it's not like this is anything common. So I never figured out where the ring came from. And I usually keep it in this little box that has a bunch of weird stuff like that. And it's been missing for, a while. I've looked at the box a couple times and I couldn't find it. So who knows where it is, but, yeah, I never quite understood what the ring was there for, but, thank you guys.
I don't know if the ring part of it is really anything. It could just be somebody getting her one who knew she had one that you know, it broke. But I wonder about the peak in activity around the time that the mom died every year. If that's just kind of a I'm still with you kind of thing.
I could see that, and I could see how it gets confusing sometimes where there's other odd things that might be happening around this time, but maybe not always correlated, or that they should be correlated, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So thank you for sharing the experiences with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, guys. My name is Aaron, big fan of the show. I've only been listening for probably about, I don't know, a month now, and love it. It's a great thing you guys do. I have a story that happened quite a few years ago. It's me and my close friend. I don't know if you'd say susceptible to things like that, but he has eerie feelings, and he's always, like, mentioned when things just didn't feel right to him. So years ago, we're young, probably 16 years old. I'm 26 now, so yeah, it was about 10 years ago. We're at my house, small ranch brick house, and it's late at night, and he's just spending the night. It was a summer night. I remember we didn't have any school. We're playing video games. And I remember the only other person that lived in that house with me was my father, and he was actually out that night working overtime. And he gave me some money for pizza. Well, early in the night, we ate some pizza, we're playing games, you know, we're young. It's around 2 in the morning, and my friend says, hey, I'm hungry. So I'm like, all right, let's go, and we'll take a break, or geez, we're back when we used to play it full all-nighters. So he ends up walking out ahead of me first out of my room, and for whatever reason, you know, it's late at night, all the lights in the house are off except for my room where we were. So he walks out of my room first. He's in the hallway. It's a long hallway, and there's coming out of the room, there's a bathroom to the right, and then there's a bedroom right before the bathroom on the right as well, and then there's a bedroom to the left. And at the very end of this hallway, probably about 20 feet long, there's a opening into the living room, and that's where we were headed. The pizza was on the coffee table. So it's pitch black. I shut off my room light as we're walking towards the living room. And next thing you know, I bump right into him. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And he's pushing me back, and he starts frantically freaking out. I said, what's wrong, man? He like, shoves right by me. He's like, come on, go back. He's like, go back. And he dips into the first room on the right, which happened to be my brother's room. And he wasn't there that night either. He was, I don't know what he was doing, hanging out with friends or whatever he does. I don't know, we're kids. So we're in my brother's room, and he closes the door behind me, and he turns on the light, and I can see it in his face. He's shook, and I don't know what, you know, what's wrong. My mind is just racing. I'm like, what are you doing? You're freaking me out. You need to calm down. He said, Aaron, I saw a girl. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's crying. I've never seen him cry. I always know, and he always had, like, yeah, he'd always talk about, like, eerie feelings and stuff like that, but he never, you know, ever mentioned, like, seeing it in the you know, in the flesh. So I said, what are you talking about? Stop messing around. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? You're clearly, you know, just trying to mess with me. So he's like, I'm not messing with you. I saw a girl. She was about this far from my face, and he's holding his hand about a foot from his face. She had black hair, and her eyes were white. And he saw that, and that's what freaked him out. So I think he's messing around. Well, we're sitting there, and I'm trying to calm him down. And he, he's trying to explain it to me, like, some more in detail, and I think he's messing with me. Well, in the middle of him talking, we hear a big thump. And then we hear another one right after. It's like, just back, two thumps back to back, like a thump and then thump again. So I'm freaked out. I'm like, okay, obviously he's right. And then my adrenaline's pumping and I'm thinking maybe, you know, maybe he just thinks he saw a girl and it's mine and somebody's in the house. So I'm young and stupid. I flick on the hallway light and I run out there and I'm screaming, trying to intimidate, thinking it's maybe an intruder or something like that. I don't know what I was going to do anyway. I could have got myself killed even if it was. But I'm screaming. There's nothing. I go out in the living room, and there's, I don't know how it happened because there was only two thumps that we heard. But all the pictures that were on the mantle of our fireplace are laying face down in the living room on the carpet. So he freaks out and calls his mom to pick him up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He called her 5 or 6 times in a row. She thought something was up, so she came and got him. I'd never seen him like that before in my life. And I'm sitting there freaked out alone. So I remember I sat out in my driveway waiting for my dad to get home all night because I was not staying in that house after what happened. It freaked me out. But that was the only incident that anything like that ever happened. So I don't know if it's just with him. I've never experienced anything myself that would cause anything like that. But, man, it was scary. So I don't know if you guys know what that was, but like I said, I've been listening to you guys for about a month now. I discovered you on iTunes and it's great. It's a good thing that you guys do. I really enjoy it. I've always been in this paranormal stuff. Like I said, I've never seen anything myself that would like say, you know, that was obvious. So, other than just minor coincidences, and to be honest, I hope I don't see anything. I'd rather hear the stories about it and enjoy it. And so thank you guys for putting this out there. And I'm definitely going to be at EPP very soon here. And just a quick shout out to Alex Savs. And thanks, guys.
There you go.
I think this is one of the listeners that we have that is not sensitive at all. Because I bet after his friend saw that, if he were sensitive, he would have had stories of his own from that house. And I think he's just one of the lucky ones that doesn't have anything show up on his radar.
As Jan Arden would say, why do you have to be so insensitive?
Okay.
That's how it goes. I guess it wouldn't be a bad thing to be that. And I think I'm kind of like that with ghosts to a certain extent. I mean, I don't think I'm completely. I think I can like get a weird feeling about some things. If you're in a 1 to 10, 10 being like you can see them. I don't know. I'm probably about a 3.
Okay.
I'm not like 5 or 6 where it's like there's definitely something here. I mean, I think when you're like at like a 1 to a 3, almost anything can set you off, including like squirrels or something. You know, okay. like it feels like there's something here, else and a squirrel jumps up. Like, okay, I was just sensing, you know, auditorily around me that there was some movement, but it was so quiet I wasn't quite sure, you know. You know, you can get tripped up by things like that.
Okay.
When you could also be feeling something else in the room.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay.
I think at a 5, you can decipher squirrel and ghost.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, it just gets even better. So there you go. Makes sense.
Sure.
Why not?
It's your squirrel scale.
Yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And yes, becoming an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. It really is the gift that keeps on giving all year long. It's like jam of the month without jam.
Yeah,
it is. Or anything that's
fruit of the month.
Fruit of the month. The thing is that remember, like when subscription gifts were like kind of a, like they were looked on like that. They were a joke. It was like, oh, Fruit of the Month Club, Jam of the Month Club. Not like everybody does a subscription to something. I mean, we get Blue Apron and we love it,
yeah,
you know, and that's like a weekly thing. But it was like, it was such a weird thing for so long. And now it's like, you're almost strange if you don't have a subscription to something. I mean, there's like just boxes of random crap out there too that you're going to have sent to you.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's Random Crap of the Month Club. And it's like, what are you sending? We don't even know. It's whatever we feel like boxing and sending to you.
There's really boxes like that.
Yeah, it's just, it's amazing. But anyway, ghostpodcast.com, our subscription, we don't mail you things. You have access to them. We put brand new bonus episodes out every single week, so you can get access to all those and access to all the ones that have come out weeks prior, all 160 some bonus episodes that are out there for you to listen to. And we can mail you something, a bunk bed bell, if you'd like. If you sign up for the yearly subscription, you have an option for that, or to jump on a call with us or Skype with us, and we'll hear your ghost story one-on-one and discuss it, and maybe use it on a future episode. So that's a bonus if you sign up for the yearly EPP membership. Makes a great gift, by the way.
It sure does.
For your family, for your friends, for your loved ones. Ghostpodcast.com. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, this is BG from North Royalton, Ohio. I have a couple of interesting stories about a mausoleum that's out here that's local to the Cleveland area, but I think I'll save those for a different call because they're kind of longer stories and they're funny. They're not really haunted. They're not really haunted stories, but I just think they're kind of funny. Anyway, the experience that I would like to share is something that happened right after my grandfather died. I mean, it was like literally right after he died. We had gotten a call in the morning from my grandmother saying that my grandfather had passed away. This was like a week after my bat mitzvah, and we were totally convinced that the only reason he stayed alive as long as he did was because he wanted to see me get bat mitzvahed. And he had Parkinson's disease, so we kind of knew what was coming. So my mom and I drive over to their apartment, and they hadn't contacted the funeral home yet, so his body was still there in the bedroom. He had passed away in his sleep, and it didn't really bother me. I remember going into the bedroom and looking at his body and just kind of like patting his head and, you know, mussing up his hair, and gave him a kiss on the forehead. And you know, obviously my mom was a lot more affected by it because it was her father that had passed away. And so the funeral home comes by, they take his body away and everything. And we try to comfort my grandmother for a little while, and eventually we go back home. And probably about half an hour or so after we got home, we got a call from my grandmother, and she says, "I need you guys to come back here." She didn't tell us why. She didn't say anything. So my mom and I and my dad, we all drive back up to her apartment, and we're like, "Well, why did you want us to come? Why did you want us to come back here?" And she says, just walk around and just let me know if you notice anything strange." So we're walking around, and there was a very distinct smell of this cologne that my grandfather used to use, and it was in the area where he used to sit at the head of the table. And it was really weird because the cologne he used to use, they'd gotten rid of it years ago. And I'm pretty sure it was also discontinued, but there was this very distinct smell of his cologne. It was really concentrated just in this one area where he used to sit at the head of the table. And if you moved, like, even a foot to the left or a foot to the right, you couldn't smell it. It was just in this one, like this one spherical area where he used to sit. And we just kind of took that as meaning that he was still around and, you know, that he hadn't completely left yet. But it was, you know, it was really sweet. It was actually very comforting. The second story about my grandfather, he used to draw these little stick figures when my mom and my aunt were little kids, and he used to call them Georges. I have no idea why he called them Georges, but they thought it was really funny. He would draw these little stick figures, and he would give them to my aunt and my mom and say, "Oh, look, here are your Georges. I drew you some Georges." And it was the Passover, I think it was a year after he passed away, we were having our Passover Seder, and so my brother and sisters were there. And normally a Passover Seder, you read out of the Haggadah, and, you know, it's the story of the Jews' exodus from Egypt. And we would go around, and each person would read a different paragraph. Well, my dad had no idea about this whole George thing. My mom had never told him about it. He had nobody ever told him about it. He didn't know anything. And so we're going around, and he finishes reading his passage, and he looks at my brother David, and he gets kind of this weird look on his face, and in this, it wasn't in his voice. It was in a different, it was almost in my grandfather's voice. He says, "Well, it's your turn now, George." And my mom and my grandmother's and my mouth just fall open. And my dad kind of comes out of it. It was like he was almost in a trance. He kind of comes out of it and he says, "Wait, what did I just say?" And my mom says, "You just called David George." And then she goes and she tells him the story about the Georges that my grandfather used to draw. And it was just, it was, you know, it was cute. My grandfather used to love coming over and having Passover Seders with us, so it was kind of like he was there in spirit, just making sure that we were, you know, we were having a good time. So anyway, yeah, those are my two stories, and I'll call back in with my two creepy slash funny mausoleum stories in the future. So anyways, I hope you both have a great day. All right, bye.
I think Grandpa is definitely still around and probably will stay around
long enough to possess the husbands and the significant others of the family.
Yeah.
And relay messages. That's great. That'd be great to have a skill when you're gone, if you can do that. I would totally possess people and have all sorts of fun messages come out. Somebody's just going to, you know, in the middle of whatever is going on, whatever holiday dinner it is.
You'd end up getting your ghostly butt exercised because you would come across as more of a asshole slash demon.
No, I think I'd have some fun with it. I think somebody's like saying the blessing and all of a sudden they break into like the lyrics of Hold On from Wilson Phillips. Just it would just be like, just, you know, they're just going along and like, if you hold on for one more day, if you hold on, and then they have, then they, things will go your way. Hold on for one more day. It'll just like, what are you quoting Wilson Phillips?
Okay.
Amen. That's
wrong.
Like, what did I just say? It's like, then somebody else is like, "Let me try," and then they go into their prayer, and then it goes into a different Wilson Phillips. Nobody would know what to make of it.
No,
but I would be laughing hysterically as a ghost.
I think the scariest part is you know the lyrics to Wilson Phillips songs, and I don't.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Oh, come on. You could sing along with that. You know the hook to Wilson Phillips. Hold on.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to try it out.
I'm trying to. I know the hook. I don't know the rest of the lyrics.
Yeah.
Open the door. Come in. I'm so glad to see you again. I don't know where the. That's how it begins. But remember, I worked in AC radio for like 10 years, so I had to play this crap all the time. So there you go. I could recite most AC songs. Including quite a bit of Celine Dion, by the way, just so you're aware.
Good. Good for you.
Let's get another caller. Hi. You're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Brooke from Michigan. So I have two kind of quick stories. I've called before, and both my parents are passed, so I have quite a few different things that have happened. So the first being when the first week of that my mom passed, we had a funeral, obviously, but the night before her funeral, I was sleeping in my room, the room that I grew up in, everything. It felt like a dream, but I'm almost sure that it was a visit or like a goodbye. Pretty much, I was woken up, and she was over top of my bed, but I could only see the lower portion of, or not the lower, I'm sorry, the upper portion of her body. And she looked really healthy, really alive, and just young, and she looked really good, where my mom suffered from asthma and it ultimately ended her life, and she was having so much such a hard time just breathing that, you know, it physically and mentally exhausted her, and you could just tell looking at her. But so she didn't even say anything, though, and it was almost like she didn't have to. She smiled at me, and then she reached out, and when she reached out, she touched my heart. And the moment that she touched my heart, it was almost like I instantly snapped out of my dream and woke up. It felt like she actually had touched me, and I actually ended up shaking my husband and asking him if he touched me. He was like, "No, what are you talking about?" He had no idea. So I think that was my mom just coming and telling me goodbye and that she's okay, she was for where she needed to go. And then recently my father passed away a little over a year and a half ago. And he also, I believe, came and visited me in a dream. His death was also pretty sudden. It was a heart attack. And he married a woman a year prior that me and my sisters were not very fond of. We didn't feel that she was with him for the right reasons, and she's proving that now, a year and a half later, and we're still dealing with the state. But I think he has realized that there, you know, the issues we've had, and I've been told that this might be why I was running in my dream. I was in my house that I grew up in, same place both my parents passed away, and everything was dark, and I was upstairs where my room was growing up, and I heard him call my name, so I started running, and I was running all over the house, and I finally realized that the one light in the kitchen was on, and so I ran to the kitchen, and he was standing there in the one light, like right under it, and he also looked pretty young almost, but he looked at me and he said, "You're not as bad as I thought you would be." I'm not sure exactly what that means. I'm guessing, you know, as far as handling his death. But then he also reached out and touched me, and I woke up hysterically crying from that as well, because touched me like my mom did. It seemed like it was, he did that on purpose almost. And then, yeah, after that's just my story. If you have any input on it, that'd be great. If not, that's okay too. I love your guys' show. I've been listening to it for probably the last year. Anyways, have a good one. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I think if I came back and was able to give a message to somebody, I would probably avoid being kind of passive aggressively, like insulting, like, "Hey, not as bad as I thought you'd be."
Yeah, I would want to be very clear,
yeah,
and concise.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not so much like, "Yeah, I really kind of thought you were going to be a big screw up at this, but you're doing better than I thought." It's like, yeah. I think it probably was just, you know, I'm guessing it's probably kind of what his personality was, and it was him giving a message in his own way.
Yeah.
And he's on the other side, just trying to convey that. So I think that's what you had.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of straightforward there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. You can call them in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or write in on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like it, please do press subscribe on whatever platform it is you are listening to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever, YouTube, press subscribe. That will make sure that you do not miss any episodes of the program as we put them out. And please do keep us on the air. Become an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.